With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Okay, so you work at this software company with this girl, and you've been going through some like really serious personal things, but you keep up a good front and you act like everything's okay, but like on the inside, you're kind of dealing with those heavy things. And this girl is so perceptive. Like, she can tell what you're feeling underneath your feelings. And you guys become really good friends and then maybe more. And she just really seems to like, she's like an empath. Like, she knows what you're feeling without you having to say it. And it's like a really comfortable thing that you really like about her. And then you get so close to her that she tells you the truth. And the truth is that anytime you're in your feelings, she hears you singing a pop song in like a weird hallucinatory way. And that's how she's known about all your feelings. And that's how she got close to you. And that's how she plotted to be to know everything about you and become good friends. What do you do?
Welcome to Same Day Shipping. Hi, Kelly.
Sorry, we didn't plan this before.
We did it. We usually do.
Okay, you go. You go.
No, you go.
This is Same Day Shipping.
Welcome
the show
to, oh, God.
What? You said you go. You were the last person to say it.
But this is Same Day Shipping,
the show where we geek out.
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Patrick.
Oh, man. It's good. It's good that this was what happens.
We talked too much like friends before this started.
I know.
But no. Okay. So what I just told you was essentially the plot of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, which I've watched since the last time I talked to you guys. But is it okay for someone to use their powers to become closer to you if it is them using their powers to see the real you?
I would say if their like goal is truly like, because they can't help but see what pop song is playing in your head, right?
Yeah, like you're really hot. So there's also like, it's always underneath it all. They think you're cute and want to know you better.
It's like, I just have this really great connection with that super hot person. One of those.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, but like that is interesting because it's, in some ways, it's kind of just like someone who's more perceptive than other people.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like you can just pick up on like body language cues or whatever. And it's not like cheating to do that.
No. But it's, there's also a piece, do you want to be in a relationship with somebody who you cannot keep private things private? But maybe that's okay. You just have to deal with it once someone knows you that well, that just happens. I don't know.
And there is also like a, you know, everyone does it, right? Like if you're good at like, if you're good at picking up on things, like, and you're interested in a person, you will like only show them the side of you that like you think they'll respond well to. So there's like that bare level of manipulation that just subconsciously occurs when you're trying to pursue somebody. But then there's like that extra step of like, I know that they really like, I don't know, anime. And I'm not interested in anime, but I'm going to pretend that I am to, like, there's that thing of, like, changing who you are. Or
right,
like,
but, like, instead of anime, it's their feelings.
Right.
So it's that, it kind of is okay to care about the feelings of, like.
Yeah, that's tough.
I don't know. It threads the line.
Mm-hmm.
It's
in the show, she doesn't tell the guy, like, she tells a different guy, but she doesn't tell the guy that she kind of, she tells the guy that she was already good friends with. So it's a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
But she doesn't tell the guy who pretty much only let her in emotionally because she saw things that otherwise she would never have been able to see.
Mm. What's that John Candy movie where he has the magic typewriter?
Delirious.
Delirious. So it's
Delirious.
Like...
Delirious.
It's Sorry, not as... it's not as, like, evil as John Candy and Delirious, you know, like creating whole situations and manipulating them with like the goal of getting one over and like bolstering themselves up. I give it a pass because it's about emotional, like comfort, you know, they're like, they can't help but see your pop song and they're just gonna like, they might've chosen you to be the guardian angel of because you're super hot, but you know, if it
Do
works,
they owe
it works.
You to tell you every time they hear you sing a song? If you have an ongoing relationship with them.
So wait, I think they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, this
first.
Is a pretty high concept premise. So
oh no, go ahead.
So it's this woman. She has like a accident in an MRI machine. Don't worry about the origin doesn't really make sense. But it starts that she can see people's inner feelings as pop songs. So like they will do musical numbers that only she can see. And sometimes they're group numbers and sometimes it's just one person, but she will see them acting out their feelings or singing their emotions through a song that is it's a pop song. It's a song that isn't necessarily written for the moment. It's not like a musical in that way, but it's
musical. I could date someone with that power if I knew about the power. Because I could see myself, like, if I'm, like, really pissed at him, I'd just be like, hey, what song are you hearing right now?
Yeah. I think you have to tell them.
That was, like, really good, Colin. I want that to be in the second season of Zoe's. What does it sound like now, hun?
I think you have to tell them that you have the ability.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have to tell them every time it's happening.
Yeah.
What if they come home and they're singing a song about... they're singing Tempted by the Fruit of Another.
Oh, my God. Then that means that they're being messy. Because honestly, like, that's, like, to me, the same as them, like, leaving their iPad open while they text secrets on their phone and it's going to the iPad.
Do you think they're, like, trying to tell you?
I don't think they mean to.
No, it's a subconscious thing,
it's
right?
Subconscious.
Yeah, it's subconscious. I don't think they mean to. It's just accident.
Because, like, the thing is, you have... all of the songs, especially because they're pop songs and not, you know, just like the person singing their feelings, they all need interpretation. So I think if I was dating Zoe, I would want her to tell me so that even if she and I didn't talk through every single one, so that I at least know, it would give me some clarity. It would be like dating a therapist.
Mm. Sure. Well, yeah. And also, like, I wonder if, like, if you are told, like, hey, by the way, you were singing Hurt by Nine Inch Nails this morning. Like, maybe do you start to recognize, like, your emotional triggers that make these songs happen?
Yeah.
Like, can you start to, like, control it? Or, like, is what I think your relationship with it can change as you get more information about how it works.
Yes. And based on the show, it's usually that when somebody is feeling something that either they cannot express because of, you know, physical situation, like limitations, or something that is different than what they are putting out.
So, just like musical theater.
Yeah.
If they're feeling some sort of like sexual tension, and they can't get it out. They'd sing about it?
Yes. Or if they're like feeling competitive, they might sing The Boy Is Mine, which does feel like an A to A, except they would never on Front Street be that clear about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be helpful to have that reflection. I think it would be hard to date that person because they would always have this like weird advantage and you would never really know if they told you all your songs.
Yeah, like a lot of stuff would be unresolved.
Mm.
We're doing unresolved sexual tension playlists? What am I saying?
Whoa.
Oh, boy. No, I was just thinking the whole time that it would be good to date someone with a finite playlist instead of the infinite playlist. That like they could hear a couple of my songs and then that's it.
That's the most boring thing I've ever heard.
It's like a Spotify thing where you can set which ones they can listen to.
Yeah.
And then there's like ads that have not been normalized to the rest of the song volume. So it's like your song happens and then it's like some fucking loud ass ad.
Why would you want to date someone who has a limited playlist?
Why would you want to date someone who doesn't have Spotify Premium?
Facts.
They're just doing, you know what it is? It's really sad. It's Pandora.
Oh, Pandora. Click this short
video.
Can I
date someone who listens to Pandora?
I don't know.
I think it's fine if you're paying for it.
I do Apple Music.
Ugh, oh. Monster.
I did Apple Music when I had that like 3 months free or whatever.
Yeah, I did the free months.
I did too, and then I stopped. I didn't stop.
You didn't cancel.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be, I mean, that's a different hot take, and we're supposed to be in the part where we talk about ships, but there is a hot take around the kind of person who prefers Pandora or Sirius to creating their own playlist.
Sirius, oh my God.
Yeah, my dad and brother are Sirius people.
What?
It's like the radio.
Yeah, and there's a channel that's only Grateful Dead concerts.
Oh, there you go. That's why.
So they just listen to Grateful Dead concerts for like 18 hours a day.
But we're really doing unresolved sexual tension ships. Or UST or
UST or us. I don't know if you're supposed to say us. I've only seen it written.
I've never heard it said.
Well, let's say it. It's us.
I like us because it sounds like lust without an L.
Yeah. Ooh. And that's lust without too. Love. Oh my God. And
it's lust you need that's missing L. a little something.
Okay, so we all know it when we see it. We've all enjoyed it in ships.
Yeah.
Colin, do you have a favorite UST pairing?
Yes. Mine is from the 2000 classic Brendan Fraser vehicle, Bedazzled. That is, I ship it from the moment we see her to the end of the fucking movie, Elliot and the Devil. They have got crackling chemistry. And like, it's super sexy. Like, you know, he's the very nerdy sweet boy, but with like a diamond in the rough, and we see like his hotter forms. So if anyone's never seen the movie,
his hotter forms,
he's like a sexy lover with long hair and a mustache at one point.
Mm-hmm. He's a NBA star. He's a metropolitan socialite. He's like, he's got a lot of potential.
But he's trying to win the love of some other woman, right? Okay.
Yeah, so the premise is Brendan Fraser is like a very he's just like, you know, not a popular guy at the office, right? But he's obsessed with this coworker of his who he like sees, and he like, you know, takes a note of what color blouse she's wearing and like what she had for lunch. Like, he's got bad social skills, we'll say.
Does he put it into a spreadsheet?
No, it's not in a spreadsheet.
All right, good.
At least that's not shown in the movie.
Yeah, we don't see the sheet.
Yeah, but he's like, he can't talk to her very well, and, you know, obviously it's not going to happen. And then the devil shows up at a bar, and she is played by Elizabeth Hurley, who is fucking great in this movie. She offers him 7 wishes for his soul. And, you know, of course, because it's a romantic comedy kind of thing, he uses all 6 of his wishes to you know, pursue her. She tricks him because he wishes for a Big Mac sarcastically, and then that's like, you know, a device they use later. But yeah, they just...
I can't remember the end of that movie. I've seen it, but I don't remember what happens. Does she like get wished to become human and then they end up together?
No, I wish. The end is super weird. So he makes like a truly selfless wish, which is, you know, right as he's about to get sucked into hell, he wishes for his crush to be happy. And then the devil's like, damn, in the fine print, if you make a truly selfless wish, you get to keep your soul. I'm like, eh, a little weak, but whatever. It's a Harold Ramis movie.
They don't introduce like, that until the time it happens.
Yeah, but
also, like you
know.
Still get six.
Exactly.
Yeah, but and if one of them shows you're not selfish, you can get out of, you don't have to go to hell.
Right. Super weak. What would have been better is because she likes him so much and, you know, he's like, it's kind of like, he could be like a little sexual pet in a way, but I like to think that he softens her over the years when he's down in hell and she sort of starts like promoting him through the ranks from like, you know, pincushion torture device to like maybe you know little like right hand slave boy to second in command to full on lover of the devil, and they rule hell together. And he has like a little, he softens her a little bit and she gives him a little more you know, machismo, a little more aggression and stuff like that, which is a, you know, the character's too soft in his human form. And I think that the devil can really be good for him.
So wait, though, the ending that like the happy ending that you're rewriting for him is that he doesn't get to keep his soul, goes to hell and is tortured for years?
Yeah, well,
yeah,
you know,
like,
you got to give a little
in different ways.
Yeah, you got to give a little to get a little, Patrick.
All right.
And honestly, that extends the ust for longer, right? Cuz she's not going to have sex with some guy who is at the bottom, who's being, you know, having pincushion torture. But like by the time he's like almost an equal demon.
Yeah.
And then honestly, I think the tables turn and she's like, come on. And he's like, no, I've got other things to do. I'll let you know if you fit into my schedule.
And there is this really great scene in the movie where, you know, he, one of his like wishes doesn't go all of his wishes don't go the way he wants them to. So he gets zapped back to Earth, and then she's waiting there for him, and he's like, he's mad, and he's yelling at her, and she like kind of breaks down a little bit, and just like, do you have any idea how hard it is to make people happy? Like, I'm really trying my best. Like, you just weren't specific enough with your wishes, and now you're yelling at me over it? And like, it was played as like, oh, but I'm a crafty devil, and you know, she was manipulating him. But I like to think that there is some truth to that. And there is like a sensitive devil underneath it all.
All right, I'm down.
I'm down. I'm
ust,
down.
Baby.
Ust.
Ust, baby.
All right, does anyone else have an ust ship?
I can go.
Okay.
So I was thinking about The Outing, the episode of Seinfeld where the reporter does a story on Jerry and she writes about him like he's a gay icon and that Jerry and George have been like, you know, dating for years. And they're like, no, we're not that there's anything wrong with that. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But
the beginning of one of the worst memes of American history.
Yeah, not great.
I mean, it was fine for its time, but it's lived too long.
Wait,
it also
that there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
That's been, I'm calling it a meme, but I guess it predates memes, but I feel like it is
a catchphrase, I guess.
As a punchline, it's like up there with That's What She Said, though at least That's What She Said gained its tipping point of popularity as making fun of people saying it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think people said, not that there's anything wrong with that, as if that was a valid joke to make, not making fun of people making that joke. It's like the no homo of its time.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
And again, if you want to make fun of people saying no homo, that's your business. But if you are saying no homo in a real way, come on, guys.
I think also, similar to That's What She Said, I think no homo has now kind of, you're making fun of the people saying it. I don't know if, not that there's anything wrong with that, has ever experienced that. I don't think it has.
Well, I mean, I would, if one of you said it, I would assume you were making fun of someone saying it.
Yeah.
I would give you the guys the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Well, it's also, that's hit, it's, like, popular culture.
It's also, like, enough under popular. Like, it is a well-known thing, but I feel like people haven't said it in the last, like, decade. Am I wrong on that?
I haven't heard it in the real world since probably within a few weeks of that episode coming out.
What? Oh, yeah. I felt like I heard it for a long time.
Wait, what?
Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
I heard that a lot.
Well, because it's also like you say a thing that is judgmental and shitty.
Right.
And then you say that after it to like
lessen the blow.
Yeah. Or like say, well, you know, I'm not, no judgments. But it's like, no, fuck you. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Right. It's exactly the same as no homo. Really?
Yeah. You're mad. Like, yeah. And its origins are no homo.
Yeah. Well, no homo is like, you say something that's just like, oh, well, I have any kind of emotional closeness with someone of the same gender, but I'm not gay.
Yes. It's just gay panic.
Yes.
It's
kinda, I guess, yeah, gay panic
it's
is
the same umbrella. In that it's the opposite.
Well, so this is why I want to, like,
saying that. Okay, I don't think it's the opposite. I think it's the same thing. You're saying not that you there's anything wrong with that because you have a problem.
Yeah.
Yes, but you're saying
there's... You wouldn't be making a big stink, Jerry, if there actually wasn't anything wrong with that. You do have a problem with it. That's why you're making a stink. And then you say that as like a cover, as if that's covering that you're...
Yeah, well, you want to be able to say...
Here's what I'm
going to
propose is the character's problem with it, is that some homo, right, that they do in fact have feelings for each other. Ooh. In the same way that Jerry and Elaine, like, do have... like sexual feelings for each other, that like at the end of that one, like season one or season two episode where Jerry and Elaine are just like hanging out and he's like, so, you know, what if we did just like fold that in? What if we like just bang one out? It's not the exact language.
I think fold it in. I feel like that fold sounds like something they would say.
Yeah.
And then they go and they fuck and like, then it's done and they don't need to like deal with that anymore. And I feel like Jerry and George needed that after that episode because
so
like
they needed to have this with a little of that. That's, I guess, how they said it. I think there was, I'm sorry, you're not seeing my gestures. I believe it was like a gesture in the living room.
Yes.
With fingers pointed to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is how they did it. But yeah, George and Jerry could have had kept this going because this is great.
Oh, I love this. The scene where George and Jerry are having the exact conversation that George had with Elaine would have been amazing.
And then never speak, and they're like, we don't, it doesn't have to change the dynamic of the show.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. Like,
they just resolve that tension.
That's right. Well, because like these are two characters who probably genuinely don't love anyone else but each other.
Oh, I mean, and themselves.
Yes, I mean, yeah. They love themselves.
They got self-love down. Well, maybe not George so much.
No, not George so much. There's a self-obsession, but it's not from love.
You're right, it's not... He doesn't have a lot of good feelings about himself. But yeah, I think... I mean, Jerry is his... They are life partners in the non-loaded term of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Because they've been friends since high school, right? Didn't they know each other?
Yep.
So mm-hmm. They've known each other forever.
The sort of like modern equivalent, I would say, is Gil Faison and George St. Geeglin. They have like that sort
Ooh.
Of relationship from
do.
Oh Hello or
have
Oh Hello
you,
the
yeah,
Podcast.
If we saw them years
have
from now,
you guys
would
been
be
listening
them.
To the Podcast?
Yes, I love it.
I in that there's a whole, and I'm not fully caught up, so it may have come to the fore, but there is a running like subplot about
a subplot.
A subplot of Gil, I get them confused, of Gil resenting a former paramour of George.
Mm.
And that like Gil perhaps poisoned the well.
It was the other way, but yeah, totally.
It's the other way, yeah. They get confused of which is which.
Gil finds Uncharmed, I'm sure. Yeah, but I think you're right, P. I think they're... They could have benefited from just clearing the air a little bit after that whole endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's sort of what Jerry tries to do by sleeping with the college student afterwards, right?
Yeah. And, like, that's, I guess, like, you know, none of them really have, like, healthy or positive sex lives, right? Like, they all have, like, these destructive relationships. And it'd be nice just for them to, like, acknowledge that, like, they love each other and should express that physically. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I like thinking about it as you pitch it more than I think I would have enjoyed it as the show would have done it.
I mean, well, yes, because the show would have done it as a joke.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have worked. But this pitch I enjoy. So thank you for bringing it into my life.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan, do you have an ust?
Oh my God, I've got like a bajillion, but I think the one... Because I tried to focus on the S, because I had a lot where it was like unresolved tension, but there's like a like sincere romantic or like love piece. Yeah. So like one of like for me that was when I was thinking of like Chuck and Ned from Pushing Daisies. Like there's like yes, there's a sexual component to their feelings for each other, but it's like the show is so fairy tale and like there's such a romantic love there.
Yeah.
So it's less. It's like more like an ert than a.
And an ust.
Wait,
so,
sorry,
but like
ert?
The one that I think is ust, and then this show makes choices once the ust has been est up. But like
what?
Up until
so they do eventually doink. Is
they do
saying.
Eventually doink all over the place.
Nice.
Well, you say that because I haven't. Well, maybe you like this. It is a. It all comes to a head in a musical episode called "Once More with Feeling." It is Buffy and Spike up to the midway point of the episode Once More with Feeling. Up until that,
okay.
I am into the ust because it feels weird explaining it to you guys. but
do it anyway.
Buffy is a vampire slayer. She.
Okay, maybe skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah, we can go a little bit further.
There's every generation. No, okay, so Buffy is a vampire slayer who has been drawn to Spike. And Spike is one of the most charismatic characters in the Buffyverse. Mm-hmm. And she's been drawn to Spike on different levels since she met him in season two. So for three and a half seasons, she has been kind of drawn to him. He is, she was in a relationship when she met him and he had lots to say about that. But like, there's just been this tension between them and she won't acknowledge her attraction to him. Like she refuses. It's like this block she puts up, as part of her personality. Like I could never want to be with someone like you. But like the truth is she wants to be with him. She is into it. She likes playing with fire. That's like just the reality. Right.
Yeah.
And then he has always like, I mean, she's hot and he's noticed that, but like has developed even more appreciation for like who she is. But that just feeds his passion and his desire for her. Mm-hmm. So I like the way that is. And you can hear me talk about it for hours on the podcast. But, like that all the way up until then, like once they consummate it, it becomes more complicated. But that's always true with us, right? Like,
yes,
the unresolved sexual tension of it is all about like the possibility and the friction and the conflict and the angst. Mm-hmm. But like once you hook up, then, you know, you have to like deal with it straightforward and it becomes a different thing. So what the Buffy Spike relationship is to me is something separate from what I'm talking about. But the Buffy Spike ust is good and strong, right. enjoyable.
And often in an UST, there's a reason they're not hooking up. And once you kind of break that, then it becomes about the consequences of it, you know? And I think that definitely applies to Buffy and Spike, where it's like they're enemies for all intents and purposes, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then it's like, well, what does that mean for the social standing of the group? And is Spike now one of us? And it becomes a whole thing.
Well, and is he going to catch feelings? Spoiler.
Can he even catch feelings? He's a demon, though.
I don't know, man. He's pretty in love with her.
Yeah. That's a good UST.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, that is a good one.
That is a good UST.
Before we hear Kelly's, can I just confess that during quarantine times, when I miss you guys, I listen to Once More with Feeling.
Really?
Yeah, and just think about driving through California and listening to that on repeat and singing it as loud as we possibly can.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was really good times.
Really
that
good is. Times.
I
That's
did
really
just
sweet.
Get the, I got the the vinyl LP.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet, but it's, you know, it's there ready to go. So maybe I'll have a listening party. I'll text Patrick and I'll be like, start it now.
That's cute.
I'm down.
Okay. Are you guys ready for something a little
gross?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We've had too many good ones. I mean, the
okay.
Sure, there's vampires and demons being sexually tortured, but let's get something really gross.
Okay. So, I first want to say that this I would not be able to even conceptualize this ship. Without the assistance of my chat on Twitch. So this was not, this did not originate with me. This originated with chat. I just need to give credit where credit's due.
You can try to distance yourself from this all you want, Kelly.
Kelly, you're in complete control of yourself right now. If you don't want to say something gross, you don't
it's
have
midnight.
To.
Okay. It's after midnight. Lucius
Malfoy.
Lucius Malfoy is just this is going to be epilogue. What epilogue? I think it's not canon compliant.
I like how you said that. I've never heard anyone say it so smoothly. Like that. I always think of it as like epilogue. What epilogue? But like epilogue. What epilogue?
Lucius Malfoy he's finishing up a long day of being a Death Eater. Now this is after the events of, I want to say, we're past book four. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So this is like,
so we're kind of like book six. What book six? What happened?
Yeah. Yeah. We're like, we've experienced certain things, but other certain things have not happened.
So we're pre Battle of Hogwarts for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Specifically, yes. We're pre-Battle of Hogwarts.
Oh, no.
So Lucius is like, he's finishing up his long day of like, you know, having to report to Voldemort. It's all very scary, whatever. And he's just, in his mind, he's like, you know, I wish that someone else would just take control for once. I just like, why do I always have to be this big, scary guy all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like taking off his leather gloves and he's putting them away. And then all of a sudden, something like gets put around his neck and he's being choked out and he hears the words whispered in his ear, Dobby is the master now.
Ah!
Kelly.
Standing on a 6-step ladder.
he pulls at the material around his neck. He's pulling and he's wrestling. And he pushes the other person to the ground and he realizes that he was being choked out by a sock. And it's Dobby. And Dobby and Lucius thinks to himself, what if I did just get let go for an hour, for a night? He goes and he does the reverse of Alohomora, whatever that is. He does that with his wand. Locks the door so Narcissa can't come up, and it's just him and Dobby in the room, and he steps towards Dobby and he kneels and he says, I'm the servant now, master.
Oh.
And then Dobby, crack, he disapparates. He's gone. What? They don't get to enact a reverse house elf master relationship? Oh no, it's so unresolved.
Oh, the tension building.
So wait, is the implication there that most people are fucking their house elves?
No. Okay. I think he wants to take it to a new level.
Got it.
So,
well, and did Dobby work for the Malfoys?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The way that he got freed was that Harry Potter gave him gave Lucius a balled up sock, and Lucius like throws it towards Dobby. Yeah.
It was like covered in like monster goop. Yeah.
And
something.
So Lucius throws it towards Dobby and he's like, get rid of this. And then Lucius is like, Master Malfoy has freed me. And then he becomes freed because he gave him clothes.
I don't think it's someone gives you laundry because house elves still do laundry.
But it's like giving.
I think it has to be a gift that is yours. I think it's ownership of property makes you not property. Which is all very fucked up.
No, it literally was if you give them clothes. Like that was the whole thing.
But it's clothes that are theirs. I'm sure there are, I guess I'm saying house elves do laundry. Oh. So it can't be if I give you some shit to wash.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a, I mean, maybe
it has to go from hand to hand.
You're right. That's what happened to create this very sexy relationship.
So then, okay. So now Lucius is like walking around on tiptoes because he's like, oh, around every corner could be my master. Dobby.
How is there more of this?
What the fuck?
So, and then, like, so sometimes there's, like, really big dinner banquets with the Death Eaters, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, they're, like, really loud and raucous, so you can't hear everything that goes on.
Yes, like, you so can't like a, hear a tiny buzzing coming from the seat of Lucius's pants,
yes,
perhaps.
So there's, like, a big celebratory, you know, it's great to be Death Eaters dinner. And they're all sitting at this really long table. There's, like, lots of loud, and there's, like, only hearable to Lucius a crack. And he hears, like, oh, someone's apparated under the table. And he... I'm so sorry, guys.
You have the power to stop at any time.
In anticipation, he spreads his legs and a rough little hand goes around his wiener. And
Kelly, they're ust ships. They don't. You yes. don't have
no,
to
Kelly,
do this.
No, Kelly. I got it. I got it. Instead of using his hand,
he uses
the dirty sock.
Yes, exactly. So the sock goes on his wiener, and then he waits. He waits for like the pressure. It doesn't happen. Crack. He's gone. And now he's stuck with a dirty sock on his wiener. It's humiliation. He's in front of all these people. He's in front of his boss, Voldemort. Like, what's he going to do? So he
his
has to...
boss, Voldemort.
One of the toughest bosses in the biz.
Dobby, he's a real bear.
Dobby is edging Malfoy?
Over the course of days. This is like lifestyle play.
Dobby also, so like he like goes to the bathroom and like Dobby like appears like I don't know, like on a sink or something, and like like whispers in his because he's washing his hands, and then he looks up and Dobby's like standing right behind him, and Dobby says like Master Malfoy is forbidden from touching himself when Dobby is not present. And then so Lucius is like not allowed to
what he's not allowed to do, Kelly. Kelly, how is Dobby making this up? How does Dobby know about edging and BDSM?
What do you mean, how does he know?
You think it's instinctual to put a sock on your old boss's dick under the table?
It is hardwired into the DNA of every house elf. I'm convinced.
To be a dom?
Yes.
That's the opposite of what's hardwired into them.
That's why it's so hot.
The sentence of how does Dobby know about edging?
You made it happen. Because to me right now, even because like I need a Dobby POV chapter because
what's going
this
on?
This feels like an abused person abusing. That's what this feels like to to me.
What if the reveal
does he know about
is...
this because people did this to him?
No. So this is what happened.
He read a book?
No, he's been free.
He's probably seen it,
yeah,
right? Because like he's been working for Malfoy's for like ever.
Okay.
Oh yeah, okay. They got some like sick Death
some,
Eater
like Death
sex
Eater
parties.
Orgies or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
He saw Death Eaters do this to each other and he's always wanted to try it.
Right. And he knows that they derive sexual satisfaction from it. So he suspects that Malfoy's gonna get off on it.
Oh,
which
yeah,
he
nothing
totally
like a,
is. He
nothing
is.
Nothing like a
I'm
brand
not worried about Malfoy
Dom.
In this equation. Malfoy's getting everything he wants.
Yeah.
Or not, but that makes him happier.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool.
I'm into it. What if part of the sexual game is that they've been lovers for years? The whole time they were lovers and all this like Dobby undertow being scared and sad thing was part of it? Because
oh, it was
what
part
they
of
do.
The act.
They keep giving each other a sock at some point when it's time. So they're both switch.
So the sock is just increasingly filled with each other's cum?
Aww. Yes. Yeah.
The sock,
so,
like is
technically
crunchy.
When
the sock
he
smells.
Yeah,
when the master put the sock over Malfoy's cock, that then made Malfoy the master again. And now
it's
his
switches.
Term to Dom. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. Now, it's okay. I can always close this tab. This crack fic because I don't know that I want Lucius
to go back
to be the Dom over Dobby because there's already like the weird fucked up dynamic. Like
no, but that was
of
all
upending
that was
the dynamic,
all just,
it's just
that was just role play. That was all role play.
It was long con.
These are clearly lifestyle sub Dom peoples. Like it does not. They don't turn it off.
Okay,
I'm into it.
Okay, worth thinking about or not ever again.
I mean, it sounds like you have a group of people where you guys, that's what you do that almost every weekday, right?
I mean, here's the thing. It's now evolved where they've added Ron to the mix and it's like,
oh.
And you're
perhaps
still
more
into
cursed.
It?
Perhaps more cursed. No, very, very. I think this is no TP.
See, here's the thing. I kind of, there's something, and again, I would read this fic. I don't think I would find it hot.
No, but I would read it for
there's
curiosity.
There's something interesting about Dobby wanting to try out being a Dom, and so he uses Ron as practice that actually is very funny to me.
No, so I think Ron, okay, this is what I think happens. Ron, this is a mid Harry Potter, if we're going by movies, Harry HP7P1. So
yes, so when they're all
on the
at
run.
At least 17.
Yeah, they're all at least 17. They're also on the run. And Ron has just like walked in on Harry and Hermione dancing
very
innocently.
Oh, they were dancing so sexy.
Yeah, and he's pissed. So he's like, I have to go be myself. I have to go. He leaves and he's like in the woods. He doesn't really understand where he is because he's like so upset.
Mm-hmm.
But he hears like the sounds of someone, like a familiar voice. Wait, is Dobby dead by this point? No, he dies in part two, right? Or does he die in part one?
I think he dies in part one, but it does.
It's fine.
He dies like at the end of part one.
Okay. So
guys, we're in AU territory here.
So he hears the sounds of like a familiar voice trying to amp himself up to like, it's like, you is daddy. You is daddy. And he's like, what is this?
Ooh, the baby talk part of it is really upsetting.
Yeah, yeah, no.
A baby talk Dom, though, is kind of interesting.
Yeah. And also the everybody in third person thing is like kind of jacked up, but it's fine. So,
oh, wow. That is such a specific genre.
Yeah. And Ron, you know, he's just looking for somewhere. This is his Spike late seasons of Buffy. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, this isn't healthy for me, but like, I have to do it because I don't feel happy. Mm-hmm. So he just basically lets himself be like treated like shit by Dobby. And so Dobby's practicing on him to then try to ensnare Lucius, his ultimate target.
So Ron is just getting used?
Yeah, unfortunately. But he likes it.
So I guess
Kelly,
it's funny that it's Dobby, but like, doesn't this actually seem like it could be the real dynamic between Creature and Sirius?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because Creature does give us that secret Dom energy, right?
Oh, yeah. Creature's a little shit.
Yeah. I think that Creature literally, like, spits on the floor and makes Sirius clean it up.
With his tongue.
With his tongue. And I think maybe, that's where Dobby learned it. from Creature. I'm really sorry, like guys.
It's okay. We didn't get into specifics of like weird insertions or anything. So.
No, I would never.
I'm in better shape than I've been with other ships you've had.
Mm.
Yeah, no one's going fully inside anybody else.
Well, that's not what I was thinking. I thought it was like Dobby or Lucius like cannot find his wand. And it's just driving him crazy. He's looked everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Dobby like standing on the desk of his office.
Drops it.
Squats it out.
Like lays it like an egg?
Yeah.
Lays it like a fucking egg. And he's like, cast your spells now.
Oh my God. Like,
That's so nasty.
Hey guys!
Two relationships!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.